Brother Louder, Jerry was praying, it made me think of this. Poor Jeff was coming in this morning and his truck overheated. Well, it started to overheat, so he had to pull. It had no heat in it either. That's just what happens when your antifreeze gets low. So he had to pull over and wait for it to cool down so he could drive the rest of the night. He must have just drove home as well. But he goes, he was standing out there in front of the heater out there. He goes, I'm as cold as a popsicle right now. Poor guy. So, good. I'm glad everybody else got here with no heater issues. You're in Proverbs 31. We're going to read that text here in just a moment. But I'm going to pick up on a message that I started last week, and I want to preach the rest of it today and the second half of it this morning. But I was teaching on, and don't turn there, but Titus 2:5, as Paul was giving instruction to the church there, he said to the elder women to teach the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And so we were focusing on that concept of being a keeper at home. And of course, we talked about single moms and different things, and we'll say more about that next week. But today, I want us to deal with, and I suppose most of you figured out we would get to this chapter sooner or later as we were doing a study on God's design for the family. So I want you to stand with me, and we're going to read Proverbs 31. You've probably read this passage multiple times in your life. But Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10, and of course, we read to the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Father, we've read this passage multiple times, and every time we teach on the family, a lot of times we end up in this chapter. So I pray that you'll make it fresh to us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we will learn and it will stand on the biblical traditional family as your word has given us your design for it. So as we continue to teach on this subject, I pray you'll get the worldliness out of our minds, and we hear it every day all the time, and that you would just bless the teaching and preaching of your word to the hearts of those that are here, especially the young men, single men, the young ladies, and single ladies, and Lord, even the married men and married ladies. If we're a married man and we have a virtuous woman, we ought to be just so grateful. And if we're a wife, then they ought to desire to be what this chapter will outline for us here in just a few moments. So I pray the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit would be evident here as we teach the word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There probably, I can say this pretty confidently, as a matter of fact, there probably is no other passage in the Bible, like Proverbs chapter 31, that describes what Paul said when he said in Titus chapter 2:5, keepers at home. So here, we see her more than a wife. We see her in the role of a homemaker. Now, last week, I stressed this. The number one priority is a wife or a mom's family. Now, she may do other things, I understand that, but this is her number one priority. Her husband, her children, and her home. Those are her top. If you were to make a priority list, you could put those at the top. Husband, children, and her home. So here we see her as the complete woman that God has designed her to be. Now, I've used that phrase, God designed on purpose, because that's what we've been teaching here, God's design. If you look back at verse 1, King Lemuel, the words of the, that's Ecclesiastes, verse 1 of Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So if you look back there, you'll see that he relates, King Lemuel relates to us the wisdom that he got from his mother on how to choose a wife. And he said, she said to him somehow one day, this is what I want you to look for. When you get ready to get married, here's the kind of a woman that you should look for. And then as you go down in the verse 10 through verse 31, it reveals the qualities and characteristics that every woman should seek to live out in their life. Now, this, she's not talking about one specific woman here. She's talking about what women in general ought to be and what they ought to desire to be for the glory of God. So he begins in verse 10. He said, who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous, you probably know, talks about strength or force. And it refers to the strength of a woman. She is strong spiritually. She is strong morally. She is strong mentally, and she is strong physically. This is the kind of a woman that you'll see outlined here. And you know what this woman does? She makes a difference in society. And if you'll notice at the end of verse 10, her price is far above rubies. You know what she is? She's priceless. She has a lot of value and a lot of worth. And that doesn't necessarily mean she's worth a lot of money, but she has value and worth that exceed money. She is more valuable than any earthly thing that you can find. And when a guy looks for a woman, as King Lemuel's mother was teaching him, he's saying, you look for one with virtue. You look for one that has strength of character, spiritual maturity, and internal goodness. That's the kind of woman that she wanted her son to look for. And then as we continue in this chapter, you find six specific qualities that characterize the excellent wife that's really found here in Proverbs chapter 31. First of all, and I want to look at some of these. I just want to look at these six things. I want to look, first of all, at her character as a wife. And look at verse 11. I keep looking over there on the wrong side of the page. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, this is the husband's perspective of his wife. This ought to be true of every husband, but it has to be true of the wife before the husband can have this type of perspective. And he says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. He trusts her. He sees his wife as trustworthy, which allows him to work outside the home, away from home, without any worries, without anything thinking like, what's going on when I'm not around? I knew of a couple guys in the past, and I don't know how people think of stuff like this, but they didn't trust their wives. So every morning they would write down the mileage of her car. And every night they'd come home and get out of the car and go check the mileage on her car. I don't know who comes up with this kind of stuff, but it's rather bizarre, isn't it? And check her mileage. I would have never thought of it. I've never even worried about that ever. And check the mileage, and then if there was 8 miles or 12 miles or whatever, where'd you go today? Who'd you go to see today? So, I mean, all kinds of this stuff. Now, a virtuous woman, the husband never does that. It allows him to work out of the home or go away from the home, confident in her faithfulness, confident in her integrity, confident in her discretion, and care for all of his interests. Now, his interest could be far-reaching. I'll just throw a little something in here. If a wife has an interest in something, the husband ought to take a little bit of interest in that so he can have an intelligent conversation with his wife about whatever interest that is. And the other way around. The wife ought to, you ask my wife, when it's hunting season, we have hunting stories. We have a lot of hunting stories. Even when it's not hunting season, she said, we have hunting stories. We get together for Christmas last week over here, and you know what those guys immediately, my brothers-in-law, so immediately, did you get any deer this year? How many did you shoot? Blah, 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 blah. It's all about hunting, okay? Well, the wife has to have a little bit of interest in that so the husband can share some of that, because when he comes home from the woods, he's got to tell a story to somebody. It's just the way it is. So you got to tell the story, and there's always a story. So, but that ought to work both ways. When a husband has a interest, or and it's far-reaching. It can go all the way from his hobbies to his work or to whatever. But she cares for all of his interests, and he ought to have a care for her interests as well. But he can do this because she's trustworthy. He can leave the credit card at home. Now, back then, they didn't have one, I know. He can leave the checkbook at home because the context implies that she is responsible, and in this case, for quite a home that evidently had a lot of resources because it talks about her maidens. Yet her husband is not anxious about leaving her with all these responsibilities because he knows this. His well-being is her concern. He understands. His comfort is her passion. And his burdens are hers to relieve to the best of her ability. Now, she can't relieve them completely, but she's there for those things. And the result of the end of verse 11 says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That is, he has no need to worry because he knows, he trusts in his wife, and she's going to be a careful steward. As a wise, and the wife pretty much is the ruler of the house. She manages his assets. She coordinates all activities. She knows what's going on, and she's got it all taken care of. Her ability to handle all domestic matters frees him to be devoted to his work. Now, on a personal side, verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. She's got his best interest in mind. She does what she can do to strengthen him and encourage him. Everything he has, his money, he may not have much. In this case, he probably did. But his money, his possessions, he knows this, they're safe with his wife. She never speaks evil of him. Because what did it say? She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She never speaks evil of him. She never defames his character in public or in the privacy of their family. She never gossips about him. Ladies, I know of women that gossip about their husbands. It ought not to be so. It ought not never to be so. I've heard women talk bad about their husbands. That ought, and I don't mean just talking to me personally. I mean in public, in a where there's several people. That's what I'm talking about. Those things ought not to happen. And how often does she do that? All the days of her life. That's the way she is. It's her character. Her love for him and her devotion to the home don't fluctuate with the changing circumstances of life. And you know something? The circumstances of life can change. They just, your circumstances oftentimes are beyond your control. But your love for your husband and your devotion for your husband, that is within your control. You can love him despite the circumstances. So today you hear people say like this, and one of the reasons they break up is, well, I just don't love my husband anymore, we just don't love each other anymore, or something like that. You know, somewhere you guys made a choice to not love. Let me remind us, when we got married, this is a normal setting, we said vows. And in this case, the wife of Proverbs chapter 31, she keeps her vows. The purity and the power of her devotion never changes, even though her circumstances might change. His comfort, his success, his reputation, they are joy. His joy, they're all her delight. Look down just a little bit here, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You see, he reaps the benefits of her faithfulness. Now, a selfish woman would say, I don't want my husband reaping the benefits that I give him. But the Proverbs 31 woman, she wants her husband to reap the benefits of her character. Now, that is this, that verse 23. He is esteemed and he is respected by his peers. I guess that's kind of obvious in that particular verse. In part, because she's created a world for him in which he could be everything that God wants him to be. I know men that are not in the ministry because of their wives. As a matter of fact, I went to Bible college with he was kind of a middle-aged guy. He was a little older than me. I didn't go to college. I was 24, but he was even probably in his early 30s. But anyway, he was in college, and we were having a prayer meeting one Friday morning, and so-and-so mentioned to pray for, it was Steve Richards, actually. He mentioned pray for this particular preacher and his family. He was preparing to be in the ministry. He says he's never going to be able to go into the ministry. I didn't know them that well. So, instead of saying, okay, keep my mouth shut, I said, why? And he says, his wife, they'll never make it into the ministry. Well, we all graduated the same class. But that guy never went into the ministry. I know men that are not in the ministry today because of their wives. So the wife has got to keep in mind that one of her goals is to make her husband be the man of God that God wants him to be. Her life is best described. Here's a one-word description of this Proverbs 31 woman. She's selfless. Her husband's good is her goal. And she loves to serve him. And I want you to think of the modern worldly-minded wife. She's not selfless because the world promotes you're number one, you're number one, you're number one. Look out for you, look out for you. Do what you want to do. Have all your wants met. Her husband's good is not necessarily her goal. Her good is her goal. And they don't always like to serve their husbands. They want to be served. They want to be waited on all the time. And the husband ought to serve his wife. But because this chapter deals with the women, obviously we're dealing more with that today. But that is not a modern philosophy. As a matter of fact, I don't suppose Oprah would want me to share some of this stuff on her program. I've never watched one show of Oprah in my life, okay? But I'm just saying, I just hear about her in the news. Oh, I guess she gave quite the moving speech the other day. I didn't hear one word of it, but whatever. But her character, because this is this woman, it is absolutely priceless, so that her husband shall have no need of spoil, and her price is far above rubies. The second thing I want you to notice, not only her character is a wife being priceless, the second thing is her devotion is a homemaker. Now let's watch in verse 13. This lady is really something. You don't do this. But the principles don't change. The principles are timeless. She maketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. That's clothing. Her family is the very top of her priority list, and she's going to take care of them. Making clothes for her family and her husband, it was a joy. Now, most of you, maybe none of you, make any clothes here. But wool, she made wool. That would be for the winter when it was cold. Flax would be lighter and prettier for the warmer times of the year, perhaps. Now, you've got modern-day conveniences, but the principle is still the same. The devotion as a homemaker, to make a good home for your family. Verse 14 says this, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Now, she makes sure that her family is well fed. And she took careful thought into that because her food came from afar. Now, some of you aren't married, some of you young girls. I'll just tell you, this is a true statement. One of the ways to a man's heart goes directly through his stomach. That's true. And I was talking to my dad once, and Chris and I were courting at that time, and so he was asking a few questions. We got talking about her. And I said, Dad, she's a pretty good cook. Now, that rings high on a man's radar scale. I mean, you got to be able to cook. I won't tell you some of the other things that she had to like snowmobiling, too, or that was going to have been like, okay, I don't know if I can marry this woman. But he said, that's pretty selfish and carnal. Probably is, but it's something that I enjoy. I like winter. Anyway, we'll get away from that. All right. But she makes sure they're fed well. She takes careful thought in this. She planned her meals. Now, you can still do some of that stuff. Clothing and food primarily are the wife's, and I'm going to use this word, duty. Your husband and your children probably may not thank you all of the time for food and for clothing, but you should get joy in seeing them happy with it. I suppose most of the men went out here yesterday and cleaned snow. Probably your wife didn't say thanks for cleaning the driveway. She doesn't need to say thanks for cleaning the driveway. It's your duty. You did it. Well, he's not healthy enough to do it. It's your duty, guys. We'll talk some about that stuff next week. Verse 15 says this. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, I don't know how much this lady slept. I don't think she slept an awful lot. But I know this, that she'd get up early, and she'd get up in the middle of the night to take care of some things as well. Now, in a normal house, and we're looking at the context here, they didn't have electric, so they would burn a nightlight at the night, but it would be a smaller one, so they'd have a little bit of oil. So somebody would have to go up and get up in the middle of the night to put a little bit more oil on that light to keep it going. She assumed that responsibility so her family could sleep. You know what you see there? You see her sacrifice. You see her selflessness. Now, you talk about work and food, and in a lot of ways, you're talking about the leadership in the home. Those who see the role as a homemaker, and a lot of people do today, as demeaning to women, they do not understand Proverbs chapter 31 at all. She has to take the elements of an account. What do you call that person that goes good in the economy? Economist, administrator. She's got to analyze the product. She got her food from afar. She's got to have a sense of smart purchases. And evidently here, she's got to give out some tasks because she's got maidens. Now, at the same time, all of that, and then at the same time, she's got to fulfill the responsibilities as a wife to her husband, to provide tender, loving care to her children. And all of that makes her priceless. She's a devoted homemaker. Thirdly, beyond that, the excellent wife is an entrepreneur. Any of you watch Shark Tank in here? I like that show. But anyway, verse 16, it says this, and they always talk about the entrepreneurs coming up. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Now, how'd she buy it? Verse 24 says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She probably made something, sold it, saved up some money, and purchased that particular land there. In addition to her family and household responsibilities, evidently she earned money for herself by making and selling some kind of product. And when she saw an opportunity, she purchased it. In this particular case, it was land. Now, for a woman to do so, she's got to have an awful lot of energy, this lady. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Got to have energy. She is strong in terms of self-discipline. She's strong in commitment to her family. She's strong in her love for her husband. And evidently, she's got some physical strength as well. It refers to her physical strength. A result, probably, of her daily labor. I'm not sure she went to the gym and exercised 5, 6, 7, 8 times a week or whatever. But she probably exercised some. But she got a lot of work. And so she did all that, and because of that, she was strong. Verse 18 says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. You know what her motivation is? Her motivation is her family prospered from her labor. So she's fulfilled in seeing others benefit from her work. She's driven then to work harder. And evidently, it means even if she gets less sleep, because it said her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She was making thread. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's well prepared for the winter. She makes warm clothes and blankets, and I think they're kind of nice clothes, by the way. But she did think of herself, verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. It doesn't say that it's gold or pearls. The silk and purple. She didn't overdo it, but I think she dresses nice. Which all of this makes this lady priceless. Then fourthly, I want you to notice in verse 20, her generosity as a neighbor. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yet she reaches forth her hands to the needy. As devoted as she is to her husband and her family, she doesn't neglect others. She has compassion on those who have less than she has. I think there were times when they would approach her, but I also think there were times when she would approach them and say, hey, let me help you out with this. Is there anything I can do in this particular whatever? I think that's what she was. Good to her neighbors. Fifthly, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Fifthly, I think this, in the text anyway, it seems to indicate this. She has influence as a teacher. It says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she rejoiceth in time to come. Let me read verse 26 as well. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, teaching always begins with character. Strength and honor always begins there. Strength describes her spiritual character. Dignity defines the quality of her life. Both are foundational to the integrity of a teacher. If a person teaches something and her children in this case or people know, let's say me or you, that you know, he teaches this but he lives that. People call that a hypocrite. So she's not hypocritical. Strength and honor, she's got them. It is imperative for those who teach to live out what they teach, otherwise they're hypocritical. She wasn't. Teaching and leadership, you probably heard me say this before, primarily is by example. If she wasn't, her children would have never listened to her. They'd have never obeyed her instructions. She smiles and she rejoices in the future. Why is that? I think because she knows God's in control. We see how well prepared she is. Nahal will be right in the future because this particular lady is right with God. Her house is in order. She practices along with her husband, Ephesians 6:4, where we train our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And all we will be well in the future for her husband because of her commitment to manage the home that God has given him, that this man to be the man of God that God would want him to be. I knew of a young girl several years ago. They had a couple little children in the home. And her husband was involved in the ministry. And she didn't like her husband so involved in the ministry. She said, he needs to back off, and he needs to back off. Well, he primarily worked one ministry. He wasn't like he did everything. But he had one ministry that he was involved with. And she wasn't a big fan of it. So she kind of asked him to back off, and asked him to back off, and asked him to back off. Well, to make a long story short, he backed off so far, he backed right out of the ministry and he backed right out of the church. And that home actually later on, several years after that, split and divided. Now, you have to realize, especially if some of you have a husband who is a pastor or some of you younger ones who's going to go into the ministry can be demanding. And it can be demanding at all different hours of the night or day. I mean, things happen. People's lives. Every once in a while, you get not every phone call is an emergency, but every once in a while, you get phone calls. I got a phone call Friday night, but then about one of the families, about the Patricks called me, Dave and Linda, and his uncle, who I think he said was 96, is in the hospital, and they're only giving him a couple days to die up at St. Luke's and wanted to know if I could run up there. I said, sure, I'll go up there, and he says, well, I'd like to go with you. I said, all right, well, I'll just meet you, and we'll go up. Well, as it turned out, Dave got sick anyway, so he goes, well, I can't go. How about tomorrow? I says, well, I can go right now by myself. And that's not a problem. Well, I really want to go. But anyway, so those things happen. So let your husband serve the Lord. I would think you'd be thrilled if your husband would serve the Lord. I just think that would be thrilling to you. Now, after character, I read this already, but verse 26. So she's a woman of character, strength and honor her clothing. She, after character comes the instruction. I said she was a teacher. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and the tongue is the law of kindness. The father teaches as well. He's the family priest, the high priest of the home as well. But Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, I want you to get this. The dominant attitude when she teaches is mentioned here at the end of verse 26. And what is it? Kindness. It is not always easy to be kind in a teaching situation. It's easy here, but sometimes when you're with your children, it's not as easy because you're like, I have told you this 5,647 times, and you still don't get it. But here it says, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, I'm not going to do this, but because we have a lot of homeschoolers here in our church, and most Bible churches are predominantly homeschooler families, I'd like to ask their children, what is the dominant attitude of your mom in the home when she's homeschooling? Is it kindness? Now, I do some of the homeschooling with our girls, and I'm going to confess something to you. My attitude is not always kindness. I need to work on it. I need to pray about that. God's got to give me victory over that, all right? I struggle. That's almost sinful sometimes. It ain't almost sinful. It is sinful. I get frustrated. It's like how many times I got to go through the same thing with you two. But anyway, but this woman, I get frustrated at that. I probably shouldn't. I probably was the same way when I was a kid, had to be told the same thing 5 million times. I get it. But hers was kindness. With gracious and kind words, she edifies and administers grace to her hearers. Didn't Paul mention something like that in Ephesians 5:29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Sixthly, look at verse 27. Here is her effectiveness as a mother. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She keeps an eye on her household, and she never gives in to the temptation of laziness. Instead, and this is totally unpopular today, she finds her fulfillment right here in her home. The excellent wife and the excellent mother raises her children with wisdom and with love and with care. Now, it is very sad today what the traditional Christian family has fallen on when women are not finding their satisfaction in the home. They have believed the lie of the devil, and they've got carnal in their minds. Verse 28. Her children rise up. She does reap the benefits of all this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Somebody said, if moms invest their lives in their children in the first half of their life, they'll reap the dividends the second half of their life. She raises them with godly wisdom and great love and care. Once they get older, they'll bless her. She's the one that gave her life for them. And I'll say this, that's God's design. That really is God's design. There's another blessing or benefit. Other than your children, the way you parent your children a lot of times will become the way your children parent their children or your grandchildren. Your tender guidance, your wise counsel, your loving discipline, your holy example, your hard work, your unselfish giving are all vital characteristics of parenting children. One more benefit for this woman at verse 28, the end of it. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I would guess, I probably even bet on this one, even though I'm not a betting man, I guess a wife would like to hear occasionally, you're the best mom of all. You're the best wife of all. That she would be praised. This is her reward from her husband and from her children. And then seventhly, I want you to notice her excellence as a person of verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Some ladies ain't figured that out. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Here's first a warning. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. This is talking about the physical. And that is deceitful. Now, unfortunately, a lot of men are attracted to women first and foremost because she's pretty or has a nice figure or something like that. A woman who spends hours trying to improve her looks, she misses on what is really lasting value. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And then in verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. King Lemuel's mother, idea of an excellent wife is wrapped up in those last two verses. When a man can share his life with a woman who fears and loves God, he's in the best circumstance he can be in. And she'll become more beautiful, and while she'll get older, and I don't know how to say this nicely, she'll complain about her weight, and I can't lose weight. You know what? That won't bother him as much, nearly as much as it bothers her. She'll still be beautiful in his eyes. This just comes from an older book. When I say older, 1869 older. Catherine Beecher, maybe some of you have heard of her, she was the eldest child of a famous family back in American history. And one of her younger sisters was a novelist, and her name was Harriet Beecher. Harriet Beecher Stowe, and they wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. Anyway, they grew up having a great love for children, and they found joy in the duties of raising and caring for them. So it's hard to believe this, but at the age of 23, Catherine founded the Hartford Female Seminary. And the purpose of that was to train women to be lovers of their husbands, lovers of their children, and keepers of the home. She and Harriet founded another seminary 4 years later in Cincinnati, Ohio. And then in 1869, they wrote the book, The American Woman's Home. And in that book, this is old school now, man, 1869, here's what they wrote. Women's profession embraces the care and nursing of the body in the critical periods of infancy and sickness, the training of the human mind in the most impressionable period of childhood, and most of the government and economics of the family state. These duties of women are as sacred and as important as any ordained to man. Amen. She's right. And yet no such advantages for preparation have been accorded her, nor is there any qualified body to certify the public that a woman is duly prepared to give proper instruction to her profession. So it was their desire in founding these two schools to train women not only to perform in the most approved manner of all manual employments of domestic life, but to honor and enjoy those duties. If a lady goes into a marriage and into a home with the concept that God has given me this position, this is God's design, I'm going to enjoy being a wife, I'm going to enjoy being a mom, I'm going to enjoy being a homemaker, put this on Oprah, she'll be totally satisfied. The world doesn't buy that. The world does not believe that. The noble work, and that's what they called it in the book, is not emphasized or appreciated anywhere near to the degree it ought to be. I'm here to tell you this morning, I appreciate it. And I think it is a noble work. And I will say something. That will turn around when young men and women embrace God's ideal of what Paul said in Titus 2:5, keep her at home. Joyfully making whatever sacrifices are necessary at the appropriate time in their lives. Every man ought to praise his wife. Every child will grow up one day and bless her. And we appreciate godly moms, and because her price, how do you say it? For her price is far above rubies. Now, that's God's design. I didn't write this chapter. In fact, you've probably heard it expounded on better than that on more than one occasion. The fact of the matter is, that's what we're looking for. And you young men, and there'll be more young men at the next service, that's what you're looking for. That's what his mom says. Now, Lemuel, this is what you want right here. And she will be the love of your life, and you'll never have to worry or fret or be discouraged. She'll be there. And I would to God that God would raise up some of you young ladies and some of you single ladies when you get married to be that kind of a woman. And some of you elderly ladies ought to take a look at your own life and see how you're doing. Father in heaven, as we continue in this series, and today we talked about the excellent wife. What a woman she is. Just a bundle of energy, taking care of her husband, taking care of her children with honor and strength, given wise counsel, good teacher, teaching godly things. And she finds satisfaction and fulfillment in the home. Now, there are certainly different circumstances in a lost and corrupt world, but the principles remain the same. And we don't make clothes very, very rare, but those principles are timeless. I pray that our ladies will be reminded of them, that they'll see that they're doing, if they're fulfilling these things, that they're right where God wants them. That's your design, that's your will for their life. And that the young ladies and the young men would desire this. The men would desire this kind of a wife, and the young girls, the young ladies, would desire to attain to this particular level of spirituality. And Lord, as the pastor of this church, it is my prayer in the name of Jesus that you would raise up such families, such couples, people with your design in mind. And we would give you the praise and the glory and all the honor and all the thanks that we can think of, because we need them. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed as faith plays. Some of you young girls ought to make a commitment to be that lady. Some of you young men ought to think about this, what I need when I get married, if I ever decide to be married. That's the kind of girl I'm going to look for. You young ladies that aren't married, you might want to think about, maybe that's what the guy's looking for. I probably ought to get those in my life. Some of you young men, I'll have enough wisdom now to seek that. And some of you older men, if you've got one, you ought to give her praise and thank the Lord for her. Well, Father, we are grateful and thankful for your goodness to us. Certainly, Lord, for our wives, we thank you for them. Thank you for their hard work and their labors and sacrifice that they give. Lord, I pray you to raise us up strong ones, strong families that will not be ashamed and not succumb to peer pressure to buck the tide of the current movement in America and pretty much around the world. So I pray that you would bless us with these kind of families. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Now